This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
College holds a mythic place in American culture, but there are stories you won't hear on the campus tours.
The higher-ups are concerned about one thing, and that is avoiding scandal.
I'm Margot Gray. On the new podcast, Campus Files, we cover everything from rigged admissions to the drama of Greek life and student protests. Listen to and follow Campus Files, an Odyssey original podcast, available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Good morning and welcome. Happy Hump Day, Trump Day. It's 8:07, your time check. Brought to you by Hayes Jewelers, where the answer is always yes. And we've got our special guest, Congresswoman Kat Kamek. Good morning, Kat. How you doing today?
I am doing great. Good morning, fellas.
So the budget passed. It was easy peasy, right?
You can probably hear it in my voice. I have been talking nonstop for what seems like 24 hours. Holy buckets, by the skin of our teeth, but we've got it in a good place. It has now advanced to the next step, and it was tough, not going to lie. We have such thin margins in the House right now, 218 to 215, and our colleagues on the left, they had told us they were going to have three absences, but the sneaky little devils, they brought those three individuals in to try to surprise us. And we were ready for it. But this is really important because had we not been able to pass the budget resolution on the House floor last night, it would have absolutely stopped all of Trump's agenda. Because what we were voting on was the no tax on tips, no tax on Social Security, no tax on overtime, the RAINS Act, which is, as you guys know, our flagship bill, the largest regulatory reform effort in American history. And it included a floor, and I say a floor, of $1.5 trillion in spending cuts. Now, is that enough? No, but it's the starting place. And if we hadn't passed that version of the bill, you would see us then having to negotiate with the Senate. And the Senate version is a wimpy $4 billion in cuts. And I told the Speaker, I said, I absolutely under no circumstances will support the Senate version. We have to get this done tonight. And President was involved. He was on the phone with members who were wavering on this. And so we're in a better place today. Thank goodness. This is a really, really good sign. But we still have a long ways to go.
Let me ask you this. I think, and I can become confused from time to time. Can you explain about raising the debt ceiling is not necessarily raising spending? Can you explain how that works?
Yes. So, and the raising of the debt ceiling isn't official until we actually do the final resolution. That is the important thing to mention here. We have to go through, because if you remember back to December, I was one of the 38 Republicans that did not support the bill that would have increased the debt ceiling $5 trillion. I've never supported a debt ceiling increase. I wasn't about to start. And I needed to see some really significant commitments to spending cuts in order to do something like that. And so we actually spent a lot of time with Vice President Vance negotiating that we would be cutting in the trillions in order to trigger a debt ceiling increase. And this is something that the president feels very strongly about. I understand that people are like, hey, what the heck? It triggers extraordinary measures from the Treasury if you hit the limit. And I've had people say, well, why don't we just get rid of the limit altogether, which I think is a terrible idea. At $37 trillion in debt, it is a good thing that we have that in place to force members of Congress to really take stock of the financial health and security of the country. But you can't spend beyond that. It's like basically saying we're going to remove the credit card limit for your Visa or your American Express, and you can just spend at will.
Greg would go crazy.
I know. You know him at Macy's. He can't be trusted.
Yeah. No, it's the gun stores and the car stores.
Well, there's that.
So, Kat, let me ask you this. If you can, just in a nutshell, give us the best, a quick bullet point or two. What's the best about the bill, and what are some bad things you kind of wish weren't in there?
Honestly, I wish the debt ceiling hadn't been in there. I would love to see this on a standalone single-issue bill, and I want to see the cut before we actually have that in place, which the way this is done, it will to an extent, but there's a lot of faith and trust that we're extending here to our colleagues. Good things, like I said, best thing in my opinion is the RAINS Act. Regulatory reform is the thing that will put this country on track to drain the swamp, empower the people, and save $2 trillion a year. That is the best thing about the bill. Locking in the tax cuts permanently, that's critically important in the short term, because if we let them expire, every family in America will experience in every tax bracket an increase from $2,000 to $3,000 and up every single year. And so that's really important for everyday working class families. Like I said, the bad thing is I don't love that the debt ceiling is in there. It's one of the things that the president demanded. We're going to have to work really hard to make sure we get the cut.
Now, you didn't like the Senate bill at all. It didn't have enough cuts in it. This bill that you just barely passed last night will go to the Senate. What are your expectations that when you get it back, it'll still look similar to what it is now?
On the spending front, we all know that the Senate, they get a little weak-kneed. So if they really start going in and saying, we're going to do half of the spending cuts, that's simply untenable. I'm sorry. Like, we're at a breaking point when it comes to the spending and to our debt. So we have to at least be deficit neutral in this package. Anything less than that is unacceptable. Senator Mike Lee and I have worked really, really hard on making sure that the RAINS Act was a part of the resolutions in both the House and the Senate. If they strip that language, I'm definitely out. And at the point that we are in the House, they're going to need my vote.
Wow. All right. Well, pretty strong stuff there. And
hardball.
Yeah. We hope that you're successful in cutting. And, I guess real quick, last question is, what's the feeling from your counterparts in terms of DOGE? Is there anybody who's on the Republican side who is worried about this perceived kind of power that Elon Musk has?
No, this is, again, I was telling Greg, I spent 13 hours in a committee markup yesterday fighting my Democrat colleagues who were just consistently slamming the president, slamming Elon. And I had to remind them at one point, in fact, AOC now serves on my committee, and I had to remind her that DOGE exists under the authority that former President Obama created via executive order. And people will remember that DOGE is just using that simple authority because Obama, when they rolled out Obamacare and that healthcare website, it crashed. It was a miserable failure. What did he do? He hired a bunch of 19, 20-year-old techies and programmers, embedded them into different government agencies to fix it. And so we're literally just taking a page out of their playbook, and the left can't stand it. So as far as the Republicans go, we love what's happening. I will caution my Republican colleagues that if they say that they support DOGE, then they need to stand firm and not pass a CR, a continuing resolution, that would refund all of the things that Elon and the president have just cut. That, to me, is the definition of insanity. We can't keep doing that. So keep an eye out in the next 2 weeks for the conversation about a continuing resolution and government shutdown. It's absolutely ridiculous. We have to start cutting and doing a budget. That's going to be the very, very next thing, which is separate from reconciliation.
Congresswoman Kat Kamik, get yourself a little nap in there, and we wish you the best.
Like I'm rough, Bob?
Oh, I'm the king of the nap, so yeah, just follow my example. You'll be all right.
I appreciate it.
All right, you take care and be safe. Good stuff going on there. It looks like if it can get through the Senate with cuts in place, that would be a good thing, in my opinion.
I'm just envisioning Kat with AOC on her committee.
Ruh-roh. Can I do that?
Yeah, in this case you can.
A lawmaker censured for just speaking up about a trans issue in sports that was a matter of fact, but she got censured. I'll explain coming up next on the Bob Rose Show, along with Greg Cassidy, on a happy hump day, Trump Day. Sold right out. Thank you. It is 8:21 on the Bob Rose Show. Greg Cassidy is here. Your time check brought to you by Hayes Jewelers, where the answer is always yes. The Bob Rose Golf Scramble sold out. We've got our golfers ready to go. Thank you so much for your ongoing support. This is the number one fundraiser for the folks at the ARC of Alachua County, and they do fantastic work with the developmentally disabled. So the Bob Rose Golf Scramble, the 27th annual, is Friday, April 4th at Hawkstone Golf and Country Club. Hole-in-one prizes like a car from Southeast Car Agency, a luxury vacation with Cruise Planners, and Brandon Kuttner. Now, as much as we're overjoyed by the fact that we have it completely filled up with golfers, we still could use some volunteers. So if you have some time on a beautiful early April day, Friday, April 4th, probably need to be there probably about 11:30, okay, and plan on staying till about 5, I guess, something like that. And your help would be very much appreciated and needed. So give Mark Johnson at the ARC a call, 352-246-3516. We've always had a good time out there, and all the volunteers seem to really enjoy it as well. So hopefully you can get on board.
It is a shotgun start, right?
Yeah. Now, that just means it's going to – everybody starts on a hole at the same time, Greg. Not everybody brings their shotgun.
Oh.
Because Greg all of a sudden was taking an interest in golf.
It got exciting to me all of a sudden. Now it's like, well, bring along some tactical something, you know?
Still going to feed everybody before and after.
Oh, then I'll be there.
Yeah, but don't bring a shotgun.
Okay.
Not necessary.
I was just trying to, you know, kind of join in there.
What officially started, huh? If you're going to advertise shotgun, by golly, you better have one.
That's right.
All right. Good stuff. Where was I going? I have no idea. Oh, I know. Somebody called in and asked about the Keystone Pipeline. And
yes.
I'll be honest, there was something that just came out yesterday. And frankly, I missed it. But I looked it up. And we heard inklings of this. Mm-hmm. But Trump actually came out and said he wants the Keystone XL Pipeline to get done, get it built. And the company needs to return to America and get it done. It was a permit for TC Energy Corp. Now, one of the reasons why you don't see them around is because Biden revoked their permit, when he took office, via executive order.
Thanks, Brandon.
Yeah, literally hours after the inauguration. But President Trump did turn his attention to the Keystone XL pipeline on Monday evening, calling for the company building it to come back to America. Let's get it built now. And when Trump says now, it's kind of like when your significant other suggests, you know, to accomplish some sort of chore.
Uh-huh.
She doesn't mean when you get a chance. When she says when you get a chance,
no,
that means now.
Yeah.
Trump said that he was just thinking about how construction on the pipeline was viciously jettisoned by the incompetent Biden administration and promised things are different now under his leadership. I know they were treated very badly by Sleepy Joe, but the Trump administration is very different. Easy approvals, almost immediate start. If not them, perhaps another pipeline company. We want the Keystone XL pipeline built. It's been at the forefront of political debate since the project began. Construction in 2010 was eventually halted by President Barack Obama. Before it was finished, Trump revived it during his first term, but didn't quite see it get completely finished. So, TC Energy, the operator of the Keystone XL pipeline, ultimately gave up on the project June 2021 as a result of Biden's decision to cancel its federal permits. In 2023, a federal judge tossed a legal challenge from nearly two dozen states asking the court to reinstate the pipeline's permits. Nope. But it'll happen now.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Things are done a little different in Maine.
Yeah, I'd say so.
They're a little, you know, even the Republicans that they elect have to be of a certain...
leaning?
Moderation.
Yeah, that's a good word.
They have to be moderate.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So you're in the legislature. You're in Maine. Okay. You're a representative.
Okay.
A Republican. Her name is Laurel Libby. So all she did was... she brought up the fact that there was a trans athlete that had, you know, won an event. During Tuesday's vote, Libby came to the House floor with a prepared seven-page speech on the importance of protecting girls and women's sports from trans inclusion. However, throughout the night, her microphone was consistently turned off when she was trying to deliver that speech. I was completely unable from my first sentence to get a word out before the other side was shutting me down, Libby said, adding that she's never seen anything like that happen during her tenure in the Maine legislature. So she posted it, and she pointed out that a transgender track and field athlete had taken first place at a Maine girls pole vault competition after competing as a boy just 1 year prior.
This isn't
somebody who transitioned years ago. Just 1 year ago, competed in the same event as a male, because the person is biologically male. The premise of Libby's censure, which is what they decided to do, was focused on the fact that she posted a photo of a minor and provided that minor's name. Now, just hold on a second. Are you telling me that somebody wins a state championship in any event, that that is not going to be published in several newspapers, mentioned on radio, perhaps even TV? Of course it would. Absolutely. But they want to censure her because she posted a photo of a minor.
Oh, my goodness. That's just an angle just trying
to
be stupid.
The minor won the contest.
I'm sure it was posted all over the place.
Well, yeah.
In fact,
public photos of this individual were already in many places, social media, even some posted by his school. But this individual participated in a public event. But she got censured for it. That means she can't speak from the floor.
That is so tacky.
Until she apologizes, she feels like she didn't do anything wrong. And frankly, she didn't.
No.
It is 8:28 on the Bob Rose Show. Greg Cassidy is here. Don't forget the Bob Rose Show podcast, available wherever you normally get your podcast. Click on subscribe and you'll never miss a minute of the show. Much more to come, including cleaning up L.A. in record time. Yep, I'll share that with you next on 97.3 The Sky. Good morning and welcome. It's 8:35. It's the Bob Rose Show. Greg Cassidy is here. Thanks so much for supporting what we do. We appreciate it. Yep, it's a happy hump day, Trump day. One of your top stories, Byron Donalds, congressman from here in Florida, is running for governor of Florida. Governor DeSantis will be termed out, and President Trump already put his seal of approval on Byron Donalds. So he just announced it yesterday, and he's ready to go. The Environmental Protection Agency officially completed phase one of the cleanup effort in the Palisades Fire and Eaton Fire in Los Angeles on Tuesday, finishing in just 28 days. That kind of cleanup and that kind of breakneck pace really is phenomenal. Now, President Trump ordered the agency to move as quickly as possible, and under Lee Zeldin, they lit a fire under the... Oh, fire's not a term you want to use when they were cleaning up such a mess after the wildfires. Burned nearly 24,000 acres, 7,000 structures. That's just the Palisades fire. The Eaton fire burned over 14,000 acres and destroyed over 9,000 structures. Originally, federal officials said phase one process, focusing on the identification and removal of hazardous material, would take 90 days, possibly even up to a year. But Lee Zeldin, under the direction of President Trump, got it done in 28 days.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
That's amazing.
Yes. In an exclusive statement to Breitbart, Administrator Zeldin said President Trump set an ambitious deadline of 30 days for EPA to get all the hazardous material cleanup done after the catastrophic wildfires. We got the job done in 28 days. I'm extremely proud of the phenomenal job our team did to aid in the recovery, and they've set the bar for future emergency response efforts. So once again, this is another win for the people in that area. It's a win for President Trump. It's a win for all of us. And it does go to show you that, you know, if the drive and the desire is there, government agencies can react quickly.
And, you know, just the contrast. You've got this idiot Chris Christie out there. You did the story yesterday talking about how, you know, the new administration, you know, Trump's people are
clown car. Yeah.
I'm like, these people are out there working and getting things done. They have done more in a month for the good than anything that came out of the Biden administration staff. No contrast at all.
I just think that, you know, if you live in a glass house and you make circus-type references.
Yes.
I mean, when you picture a clown car.
Ooh, we know who's driving.
Yeah, Chris Christie does come to mind.
It does.
All right, we need another win. Monday, announced on Hannity, Homeland Security Secretary Kristi Noem revealed she had discovered some of the ICE officials who were tipping off criminal illegal aliens about the agency's deportation efforts. When asked about an update, and Hannity asked her, we finding any of the people responsible for tipping off the gangs? Absolutely, Sean. I have found some leakers, she said. We're continuing to get more. They will be fired. There will be consequences. And remember, when they leak information to the press in order to blow one up, they're putting law enforcement lives in jeopardy. They're risking their lives and putting families in a position where they have to live without those individuals any further. So you bet we've used every tactic that we have. If you remember, we talked about just last week how I'm using polygraphs to go after and to really interview these folks, because we are a national security agency. I have that tool that I can use. I'm also looking at their emails, looking at their communications, and it's amazing how these bureaucrats who have an agenda to stop the work that we're doing to bring safety to America, how they will sell each other down the river if it's just to protect themselves. So don't worry, I'm doing everything to find these leakers and get rid of them so we can do our work and law enforcement officers and agents can do it safely. And remember, it was just recently also, besides the leaker telling about raids, they were putting up posters in Spanish and pictures of members of ICE and Homeland Security with personal information attached to it.
Unreal.
I mean, that is, you are definitely putting a target on their back. So, yes, hopefully Kristi Noem will get to the bottom of all of it and punish these people. The loss of job at the very, that's the very minimal.
Oh, yeah.
Much more needs to be done. You got to send the signal.
It's criminal.
We're done with the pushing the agenda, using your job to do it, and putting good American law enforcement agents, their health and welfare,
putting it in what could be a potentially extremely dangerous situation. So,
hey, quick note, Bob. Mm-hmm. I'd say it's been a tough morning. Another accident now. We're talking about I-75 north, just north of 39th Avenue. Basically, it's kind of like if you were taking that ramp from 39th going north onto I-75, a vehicle crash there. So be careful. It's been a tough morning.
There are other areas where swamp draining is going to be necessary, and it was Tulsi Gabbard that recently took action against NSA employees who committed an egregious violation of trust. They're using an internal agency messaging board to talk about things that have nothing to do or related to their job as members of the National Security Agency. This messaging platform called Intelink, obtained by researchers from the Conservative Manhattan Institute, reportedly via sources within the NSA, revealed employees from various intel agencies discussing things like their experiences with gender reassignment surgery, artificial genitalia, hormone therapy, polyamory, and pronoun usage. Mm-hmm. Some of these agencies reportedly include the Defense Intelligence Agency, the U.S. Naval Intelligence, and the NSA.
Wow.
Yep. So they were actively investigating, and Tulsi Gabbard said, when you see what these people were saying, they were brazen in using the NSA platform intended for professional use to conduct this kind of really, really horrific behavior. And they were brazen in doing this because when was the last time anyone was really held accountable? Certainly not over the last 4 years, certainly not over the last 10, maybe 20 years. And we look at some of the biggest violations of the American people's trust in the intelligence community. It is unacceptable, and those involved will be held accountable. Yeah.
I should, yeah.
They're peeling back the layers. They're rolling, you know, stones back. They're looking underneath. And they're going to find a lot of things that the American people are going to be upset and outraged about. And have every right to be. While Americans struggle so hard to maintain a job, to maintain a family budget, and government employees and bureaucrats are literally frittering it away, giving it to our enemies, just wasting time and money, and with no idea, inkling, or care for the stewardship of our tax dollars. So, good. That's going to stop. And, you know, Elon Musk needs to be, you know, given whatever authority is needed to do the work and continue to do the work he's doing. Remember, ultimately, when the changes are made, that's via President Trump. Elon Musk isn't making any of those decisions to fire people. He's making recommendations. Mm-hmm. He is letting the president know what he is finding, what he's discovering. The amount of waste and fraud is just incredible. And the president's going to put us back on solid footing. It's not going to happen overnight, but it is already happening. And that's a good thing. 8:45 on the Bob Rose Show. Greg Cassidy is here. Coming up at 9:05, we're going to talk to the former AG of Florida and current senator from Florida. Yes, we're going to be talking to Ashley Moody, Senator Ashley Moody, coming up at 9:05 right here on 97.3 The Sky. Good morning. And happy hump day, Trump day, my friends. It is 8:50, 10 minutes till 9 o'clock. It is the Bob Rose Show. Greg Cassidy is here. And our beloved Gator basketball team dropped a tough one to Georgia. Those nasty Bulldogs. 88-83. I mean, we were getting whooped up in the first half. 16-point deficit. And we came all the way back. Yeah, not enough to come all the way back. So, number 3 ranked Gators drop one to the Georgia Bulldogs, but we're still looking pretty good, all right? So hang in there. It was on this day at 12:18 p.m. that a terrorist bomb exploded in the parking garage of the World Trade Center in New York City, leaving a massive multi-story crater and causing the collapse of several steel-reinforced concrete floors in the vicinity of the blast. Although the terrorist bomb failed to critically damage the main structure of the skyscrapers, six people were killed and more than 1,000 were injured. The World Trade Center itself suffered more than $500 million in damage. After the attack, authorities evacuated 50,000 people from the buildings, hundreds of whom were suffering from smoke inhalation. The evacuation lasted the entire afternoon. City authorities and the FBI undertook a massive manhunt for the suspects, and within days, several radical Islamic fundamentalists were arrested. March of 1994, Mohammed Salama, Ahmed Ajaj, and Nadal Ayad, and Mohammed Obolemi, they were all convicted by federal jury for their role in the bombing. Each was sentenced to life in prison.
Wow.
Wow. So they believe the mastermind of the attack was Ramzi Ahmed Youssef. Remained at large until February of 1995 when he was arrested in Pakistan. He had previously been in the Philippines, and in a computer he left were found terrorist plans that including a plot to kill at the time Pope John Paul II and a plan to bomb 15 American airliners in 48 hours.
Wow.
Not good. On the flight back to the United States, Youssef reportedly admitted to a Secret Service agent that he had directed the Trade Center attack from the beginning and even claimed to have set the fuse that exploded the 1,200-pound bomb. His only regret, the agent quoted Youssef as saying, was that the 110-story tower did not collapse into its twin as planned, a catastrophe that would have caused, of course, thousands of deaths. But that all occurred on this day in that year of 1993. Right?
Wow.
All right. We got to the bottom of that in many ways.
Mm-hmm.
What about JFK? What about Epstein? Waiting. Republicans are mounting pressure on the Justice Department to advance the release of classified documents and records related to the assassination of JFK and other federal secrets. And it was President Donald Trump that signed an executive order in January for agencies to create plans to distribute the files, as well as documents pertaining to the assassinations of Kennedy, Dr. Martin Luther King Jr., and also information related to Jeffrey Epstein. Congresswoman Anna Paulina Luna from here in Florida, she is leading the House Oversight Committee's task force on the declassification of federal secrets. She's pushing the DOJ for answers. She wants to know when that will happen. And so far, she says she's not getting any feedback.
Hmm.
She's facing silence. On February 11th and 19th, House Oversight sent a letter to the DOJ asking for the status on releasing the Epstein files, as well as JFK, etc. Luna posted this on X Monday. The DOJ has not responded. Reaching out on X because we can't seem to get a response from AG Pam Bondi. What is the status of the documents? These documents were ordered to be declassified. Luna sent a letter to Director of National Intelligence Tulsi Gabbard, Attorney General Pam Bondi, National Security Advisor Michael Waltz, and even White House Counsel David Warrington, requesting a briefing by Thursday on plans for the release of the documents. The letter also requests details on when the declassified documents will become available to the task force and the public. Trump's executive order instructed the Department of Justice to coordinate with Gabbard, Waltz, Warrington to establish a plan by February 7th for the release of the JFK files and to create a plan for the release of MLK and Robert F. Kennedy files by March 9th. Additionally, Luna is pushing the Justice Department to share details regarding Jeffrey Epstein's client list. The American financier died in 2019 while awaiting trial on sex trafficking charges. And died under, well, shall we say, somewhat mysterious conditions.
Somewhat mysterious. That is, it's a really nice way of putting it. Yeah.
Meanwhile, Bondi said Friday that Epstein's client list was awaiting review and that she was looking over the Kennedy and King files. It's sitting on my desk right now to review. She told that to Fox News, and she said that's been a directive by President Trump.
Okay.
But they don't have, you know, any dates when this stuff will be released and become available to the general public.
But it's on her desk.
Yeah.
There
and look,
go.
Look, in all fairness, she's been extremely busy.
Mm-hmm.
Coming up, we're going to talk to somebody else I bet is pretty busy, and that is Senator Ashley Moody. We'll talk to her next, right here on News Talk 97.3 The Sky.